भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य धनं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नश्वप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमग्नानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशाम् एष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् की जय. दिस् इस् द सिक्स्थ केण्टो चाप्टर् फोर् दि हंसगूय प्रेयर्स् एण्ड् टुडे वी आर् ओन् टेक्स्ट् नम्बर् 45. It's a standalone verse. Please repeat after me. Brahma bhavah bhavantah cha manavah vibhuteshwarah vibhutayah mama hi eta bhutanam bhuti hetavah. ब्रह्मा भवो भवन्तश्च मनवो विभुधेश्वराः विभूतयो मम ह्येता भूतानां भूतिहेतवः. ब्रह्मा भवो भवन्तश्च मनवो विभुधेश्वराः विभूतयो मम ह्येता भूतानां भूतिहेतवः. ब्रह्मा भवो भवन्तश्च मनवो विबुधेश्वराः विभूतयो मम ह्येता भूतानां भूतिहेतवः. ब्रह्मा भवो भवन्तश्च मनवो विभुतेश्वराः विभूतयो मम ह्येता भूतानां भूतिहेतवः. ब्रह्मा भवो भवन्तश्च मनवो विभुतेश्वरः विभूतयो मम ह्येता भूतानां भूतिहेतवः. ब्रह्मा भवो भवन्तश्च मनवो विबुधेश्वराः विभूतयो मम ह्येता भूतानां भूतिहेतवः. माताजी ब्रह्मा भवो भवन्तश्च मनवो विबुधेश्वराः विभूतयो मम ह्येता भूतानां भूतिहेतवः. ब्रह्मा भवो भवन्तश्च मनवो विबुधेश्वराः विभूतयो मम ह्येता भूतानां भूतिहेतवः. ब्रह्मा लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा भवः लॉर्ड शिव भवन्तः ऑल ऑफ यू प्रजापतिस् च एंड मनवः the Manus, Vibhuta Ishwaraha, all the different demigods, such as the sun, the moon, Venus, Mars, and Jupiter, who are all in charge of various activities for the welfare of the world. Vibhutayaha, expansions of energy. Mama, my. He, indeed. Etaha, all these. Bhutanam, of all the living entities. Bhuti, of welfare. Hetavaha, causes. Translation. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the Manus, all the other demigods in the higher planetary systems, and you, Prajapatis, who are increasing the population, are working for the benefit of all living entities. Thus, you expansions of my marginal energy are incarnations of my various qualities. Please repeat. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the Manus, all the other demigods in the higher planetary systems, and you, Prajapatis, who are increasing the population, are working for the benefit of all living entities. Thus, you expansions of my marginal energy are incarnations of my various qualities. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There are various types of incarnations or expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The expansions of His personal self, or Vishnu Tattva, are called Swamsha expansions, whereas the living entities, who are not Vishnu Tattva but Jiva Tattva, are called Vibhinnangsha, separated expansions. Although Prajapati Daksha is not on the same level as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, he is compared to them because he engages in the service of the Lord. In the service of the Personality of Godhead, it is not that Lord Brahma is considered very great, while an ordinary human being trying to preach the glories of the Lord is considered very low. There are no such distinctions. Regardless of whether materially high or materially low, anyone engaged in the service of the Lord is spiritually very dear to him. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya gives this quotation from the Tantra Nirnaya. Vishesha vyakti patratvat brahmadyastu vibhutayaha tad antaryaminascheva matsyadya vibhavaha smrtaha. From Lord Brahma down, all the living entities engaged in the service of the Lord are extraordinary and are called vibhuti. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 10:41, yad yad vibhutimat sattvam shrimad urjitam eva va tat tat evavagachatvam mama tejongsha sambhavam. Know that all beautiful, glorious, and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. A living entity especially empowered to act on behalf of the Lord is called Vibhuti, whereas the Vishnu Tattva incarnations of the Lord, such as the Matsya Avatara, Keshava Trita Mina Sharira Jaya Jagadisha Hare, are called Vibhava. Om Agnana Timarantasya Gnananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapadagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganragunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the Manus, all the other demigods in the higher planetary systems, and you Prajapatis, who are increasing the population, are working for the benefit of all living entities. Thus, you expansions of my marginal energy are incarnations of my various qualities. The first thing Srila Prabhupada points out in his purport here is that there is a distinction to be made between the Swangsha expansions and the Vibhinnangsha expansions. Because after all, according to the Vedanta Sutra, everything is coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also repeated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Janmadyasa yotaha. Everything is coming from him. So we have to make some distinction between his personal expansions and his separated expansions. There's another verse that's highly relevant here, because if you'll notice the first word of the third line, vibhuti, vibhutayaha, means the various, as Prabhupada translates here, expansions of energy of the Supreme Lord. This is a particular class of the Lord's, you can say, incarnation or empowerment. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is discussed in Madhyalila, chapter 20, text number 368. Shaktyavesha dvirupa mukhya gauna dekhi. Sakshat shaktye matsya avatara abhase vibhuti likhi. That is to say that there are, when we consider shakti avesha avatars, there are primary and secondary. The primary are considered to be avatars proper, whereas the secondary are considered to be vibhutis. So in his purport here, Srila Prabhupada seems to indicate that the distinction between these two is based on the distinction between the Vishnu tattva and the Jiva tattva. I'm not sure that's an absolute principle, but he seems to imply that, at least in his purport here. What are some examples of the Shakti Avesha avatars? Kumaras, what did they do? What were they empowered to do? They were empowered to, with Jnana Shakti, the Lord's knowledge potency. Narad Muni was empowered with which potency of the Lord? Bhakti Shakti. That's what we're seeking. We're seeking empowerment by Bhakti Shakti. Because unless one has empowerment, it's not possible to preach Krishna consciousness. That we know also from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the others who are called vibhutis, they have some empowerment. They display some extraordinary potency that really only the Lord can bestow on someone. But it's not necessarily coming from his internal potency. It's coming from his external potency. Those who have studied Bhagavad Gita very carefully, they know that chapter 10 is entitled what? Vibhuti Yoga, the opulence of the absolute truth. And there Krishna is listing all the vibhutis as opposed to the avatars. So we're making a distinction, not we're making. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his instructions to Sanatana Goswami, he made this distinction between, with regards to Shakti Avesh, avatars who are working under the Lord's personal direction, and they are often, in many cases, they're the Lord himself. And then the vibhutis, who are maybe working under the direction of the external energy. So let's dilate on this a little bit. In that passage of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in one purport, Srila Prabhupada refers us to Srimad Bhagavatam, where there's actually a list of the vibhutis given in Canto 2, Chapter 6, text number 45 lists them as follows. This is Lord Brahma speaking. He says, I myself, Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, great generators of living beings like Daksha, that's who we're talking about today, and Prajapati, yourselves, that is to say Narada and the Kumaras, because he was speaking to them, heavenly demigods like Indra and Chandra, the leaders of the Bhurloka planets, the leaders of the earthly planets, the leaders of the lower planets, the leaders of the Gandharva planets, the leaders of the Vidyadhara planets, the leaders of the Charanaloka planets, leaders of the Yakshas, Rakshas, and Uragas, the great sages, the great demons, the great atheists, and the great spacemen, as well as the dead bodies, evil spirits, Satans, jinn, Kushmandas, great aquatics, great beasts, and great birds, etc. In other words, anything and everything which is exceptionally possessed of power, opulence, mental and perceptual dexterity, strength, forgiveness, beauty, modesty, opulence, and breeding, whether in form or formless, may appear to be the specific truth and form of the Lord. But actually they're not so. They are only a fragment of the transcendental potency of the Lord. That's quite a list, isn't it? We can add to that list perhaps tsunamis as well. You saw the videos, right? A great wave rolling across farmland, tumbling freighter cargo ships in its path, right? Amazing stuff. So this is the Lord's vibhuti, and this is just a small fraction. Therefore, Prabhupada quotes this verse from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10. Or, better yet, at the end of that chapter, does anybody know the verse? What does he say? I'm sorry? Yeah, no, after that one, just after that verse. He says, Ya athava bahunaitena kim gyatena tavarjana vishtabhyahamidam kritsnam ekangshena sthito jagat. This entire cosmos, Krishna says, is just one part of my potency. And we're looking at one planetary system only. We know from Brahma Samhita, text number, chapter 5, text 40. Anybody know that verse? Yasya prabha, prabhavato jagaranda, koti koti shu ashesha vasudhari vibhuti, bhinnam. Again, the word is there, vibhuti. We're talking about the Lord's wonders. So, from whose effulgence this entire cosmic manifestation has arisen, along with Vasudhadi Vibhuti Bhinnam, various planets and different kinds of opulences manifested in those planets. Sometimes we hear from Srila Prabhupada, on this earth planet we have bodies that are primarily composed of water and earth, and there's a little fire also, and of course ether, and there's all these elements are mixed. If you go to the sun planet, you'll find that there are people living in temperatures way beyond what we can handle here. They have that opulence. That's their vibhuti. That is the vibhuti of that vasudha, of that planet. So ashesha vasudhadi, not only infinite planets, but infinite vibhutis within those planets. The rulers of those planets also have to display the vibhutis of the Lord. So they're multifarious. All these potencies of the Lord, and they're all actually situated within the effulgence of the Lord, and that effulgence is only, after all, his effulgence. So who is this Krishna that we're trying to approach? Not an ordinary living being, although he comes and plays in that way. There was a nice verse from Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur I was looking at the other day from his Chaitanya Chandramrita. He says, Ahaha sannyasi kapatam. This Supreme Personality has now come in the cheating form of a sannyasi. He's disguised as a sannyasi, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Or as Krishna, he looks to be an ordinary dirty cowherd boy because he's dhuli dhusara, according to the acharyas. He's covered with dust. and he covers his opulences. That is to increase the sweetness of Vrajabhakti. And similarly, other incarnations may appear to be innocuous. Bali Maharaj was completely fooled by Vamanadev, who appeared to be a little boy, Brahmin, a dwarf Brahmin boy. Sometimes the Lord can cheat us like that. So anyway, these are the distinctions to be made here. So Vibhuti Bhinnam. Vibhuti is one particular class of the Lord's opulence. And according to Sridhar Swami and Jiva Goswami and Veera Raghava Acharya and Vijayadwaj Tirtha and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and other commentators on this verse, here the Vibhuti, or here the Vibhuteshwara, the lords of the various planets, they refer to the leaders among the demigods. It seems the Acharyas are not entirely in agreement on who exactly these are. Now notice that Srila Prabhupada in his synonyms here, he lists the demigods, and then he doesn't list any demigods, he lists a bunch of planets. Why is that? Let me read this again. In the synonyms, Prabhupada writes, Vibhuta Ishwaraha, all the different demigods, parentheses, such as the sun, the moon, Venus, Mars, and Jupiter, who are all in charge of various activities for the welfare of the world, end parentheses. What's this all about? Are we talking about planets or are we talking about demigods? In the Vedic conception, there really isn't any difference. It's understood that behind every impersonal manifestation, or vibhuti, there is a person. And so when we talk about Chandra, we don't just mean the moon, we also mean the moon god. When we talk about Surya, we don't just mean the sun globe, we mean the sun god. In fact, we use this as our example to explain Bhagavan, Paramatma, and Brahman, the three aspects of the absolute truth. Because, in some respects, they're manifested on a microcosmic level as well. So this is the great danger, especially if, as here, Krishna says, all these expansions of his marginal energy, they're incarnations of his various qualities. The last snare of Maya is that one fails to make this distinction between oneself and the absolute supreme self, between perhaps even someone else and the absolute person. One has to make that distinction very clear. So Krishna helps us to do that. What else can we say here? Viraghavacharya, in the last line, last word, we see bhuti hetavaha. He has an alternative reading. It says pati hetavaha, which means that among all these living entities, these are the sources also of the leaders of those living entities as well. Just a minor nuance of meaning here. And then he quotes, Srila Prabhupada quotes Madhvacharya, it's also quoted by Vijayadwaj Tirtha, this nice verse, Vishesha Vyakti Patritvad Brahmadhyastu Vibhutayaha. The Bhutis are considered to be those leaders such as Brahma and others, because of their being the recipient of some specific manifestation of the Lord's potency. Then, in addition to that, that antaryaminascheva matsyadya vibhavaha smrita. Those who are expanding from antaryami, from the super soul, they are considered to be vibhavas, or as we said earlier, those, as the Chaitanya Charitamrita said, those are the avatars. All the avatars in this world, they all expand from Kshirodakashai Vishnu. That's Paramatma, antaryami. But everyone, either material or spiritual, either Vishnu Tattva or Jiva Tattva, in some sense, everyone who exhibits this wonderful opulence of the Lord, he can be considered to be Vibhuti. That's what we're talking about in this verse. And he mentions at least three of them in the first line, Brahma Bhavo Bhavantascha. That is to say, Brahma, Shiva, and you. He's speaking to Daksha. This is a very poetic verse. How many times do we have bha here? Bha, bha, bha. This is called alliteration, or in Sanskrit we call it anuprasa. It's a poetic ornament. So, now, the thing is, I don't think this has really been explained enough. Before we move on, though, there's one more verse about the Vibhutis. In the beginning of creation, there are penance, Brahma and the Prajapatis, the great sages who generate. Then during the maintenance of the creation, there are Lord Vishnu, the demigods with controlling powers, and the kings of different planets. But at the end, there is irreligion, then Lord Shiva, and the atheists full of anger, etc. All of them are different representative manifestations of the energy of the supreme power, the Lord. This is a list, again, referred to by Srila Prabhupada in his Chaitanya Charitamrita purport. This is a list of what's called here Maya Vibhutis, the Vibhutis of the Lord's Maya potency. Now, we also hear what kind of Vibhutis. There's Tripad Vibhuti as opposed to Ekapad Vibhuti. The Tripad Vibhuti is all this variety, but it's just a little part of the Ekapad Vibhuti, as we quoted that verse before, Yasya Prabha. So these things are important to consider. Now, there's one question here raised by Jeev Goswami. He says in his commentary, he asks us the question, Nanu akamasya tava katham bhuta vibhuti kamna uchyate. It may be said that when we're talking about someone who is desireless, then where from comes this desire for vibhuti, for increasing the opulence? Remember, because what did Lord Krishna say, or what did Lord Vishnu tell Daksha here in this passage? I'm very happy with you. Let's go back to text 43. It's a very significant verse. He says, O most fortunate Prachetasa, that's Daksha, because of your great faith in me, you have attained the supreme devotional ecstasy. Indeed, because of your austerities combined with exalted devotion, your life is now successful. You have achieved complete perfection. Everybody agree with this? Is Daksha a perfect devotee? Has he attained the topmost parambhava? If so, then you must answer the question, why did he offend Lord Shiva so grievously? And after that, he was given a goat head. He couldn't handle that, so he gave up that body and was reborn again with the same name as Daksha. And then he executed austerities in the Vindhya Hills in central India. And this is where Lord Vishnu has just appeared to him after he offered the Hansu Guhya prayers, very Krishna conscious prayers, no doubt. And what benediction did Vishnu give him? You may have unlimited sex. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita, we know Krishna says that when it is licit, there's nothing wrong with sex life. And evidently, Prajapati Daksha had this strong desire. That's why he came back in the same form. As long as any of us maintain the same desires that we have right now, we're probably going to come back in more or less the same form and do the same thing all over again. The process of transmutation of the subtle body or the swabhava, it's very slow and it's very subtle and it generally takes a long, long time. Therefore, buhunam janmanam ante jnanavan Mam Prapadyate, Krishna says, we may become Gyanavan after a long, long time. Daksha's not even there yet. Prabhupada in the fourth canto calls him a couple of things that are not so flattering. He calls him a Karmi, for one. He's on the Karmakanda Marg. He's a Karmi. And Prabhupada furthermore calls him the abode of all offenses. This doesn't sound like someone who has achieved Parambhava, does it? And yet that's what all the acharyas comment on that verse, on text 43. At least, who says it? Let me go through the list. Sridhar Swami says it. Who else says it? Viraghava Acharya, Vijayadwaj Tirtha, those in the Vallabha line, those in the Nimbarka line, they all say that the bhavam in text 43 meant bhakti. And he was siddha, some siddha. Completely perfect. That word is used as well. So what's going on here? We have a conflict. Jiva Goswami doesn't say anything about this in his commentary. He doesn't resolve it. He doesn't go there. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says something very interesting. He says, Natu bhavadrisha nikrishta eveti aha brahmeti. That is to say, in the verse beginning Brahma, that's today's verse, he means to say that not just little guys like you. He uses the word bhavadrisha nikrishta. Nikrishta, anybody here speak Hindi or Indian languages? Nikrishta means paltry or even degraded. It's a double entendre. It's not clear from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur whether he's kind of disparaging Daksha Maharaj as being degraded or debased, or whether he's just a small-timer, because Nikrishta means a small-timer also. But that's what he says. The Vishnu's intention here is to say, it's not just small-timers like you, it's also Brahma, it's also Shiva, it's also all these other Vibhuteshwaras, all these leaders among the planets. And Prabhupada mentions the planets here. There's only certain planets. We know that the 7 days of the week are named after the seven of the planets, right? But there are actually more than seven planets. How many are there? We call them Navagrahas, right? Sometimes they worship them. Because these are the agents of your karma. These are the ones who are administering your karma, giving you, they are managing your karmic reactions. And when they have shifts, just like the Manus have shifts, and when, let's say, the moon or Jupiter is in his shift, then you're going to have a pretty good time. Venus means a lot of sense gratification as well, Shukra. But when you get Shani, Saturn, or when you get Rahu or Ketu, then you really have a hard time. They're called Krura, cruel planets. So the list here is dominated by those who are giving auspicious results. None of the commentators really have put this planetary or astrological aspect on their interpretation of the word Vibhuta Ishwara. They all say it's people like Indra and big leaders among the demigods. Prabhupada says this, though. I don't know exactly why. I couldn't trace out the source. But it seems as if he wants to suggest that we're not so free as we often think. And that's why it's sometimes a good thing to be aware of these influences on our lives. I've seen it. As soon as someone changes, administration changes to another demigod, whole personality can change. All of his desires change. It's pretty frightening to think that's what it means to be a conditioned soul. Conditioned by who? By these powerful influences. And Daksha is considered to be Nikrishta, just a small one amongst all these powers that be, as we might say. So, how is it that back in the fourth canto, this is canto 4, chapter 5, text 12, how is it then that if Daksha is the abode of all offenses and is a karmi, how is it, number one, that he has attained parampavam, which most acharyas say is bhakti, and how is it that the fourth canto, that's chapter 5, text 12, calls him a mahatma? He was called a mahatma. Who has an answer for this? In Krishna consciousness, whenever we look at something closely enough, we are going to find a contradiction in everything. That's the nature, or I should say that's the natural characteristic of the absolute truth. It's achintya bheda bheda. It has the same thing and the opposite thing at one and the same time. But we have to, in Vaishnava philosophy, we have to reconcile any apparent contradiction in order that our faith can be preserved and we can know how to act. So what are we going to do with this? Daksha is described in contradictory terms. Anybody have an answer? I'll volunteer. I looked this up. Back in that same reference where Daksha is called a Mahatma in chapter 5, text 12 of the fourth canto, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, actually when Shukadeva Goswami calls him a Mahatma there, he's being sarcastic. He's being sarcastic. And similarly, on that basis, we can at least admit the possibility that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, talking about this particular verse, is kind of disparaging Daksha a little bit as well by calling him Nikrishta. He's just a paltry, even degraded guy because he is so absorbed in this householder mentality. Now, that brings us to the next point. After he offers these prayers, after Lord Vishnu tells him that he has achieved the supreme devotion through his perfect austerity, what does he go and do? He goes and offends another great Vaishnava. In fact, another Shakti Avesh avatar. Who? Narad Muni, with regards to the sons of King Prachinabarhi. And he messed up again. So even therefore, we do not encourage the karma kanda process. We do not encourage it, because even if you're so expert, and what does the name daksha mean? Expert. Even if you're that expert, you're going to mess it up. And he messed it up a few times. Now, we're not even in the karma kanda. We're on the vikarma kanda. This is our socialization in modern day and age. We are born and raised to assume that sinful activity is quite the norm. There's no problem. And we have to work very hard to overcome this conditioning. Most of us. Almost all of us. Then when we do so, when we can become situated in piety like Daksha was, at least he was pious, that you have to credit him. He was pious. But then you get the adhikar for gyan, and when you're gyanavan, Krishna says, then you can really sustain a mature commitment to pure devotion. So although it says here, although all the acharyas say that he had the supreme devotion by the grace of Lord Vishnu through his very assiduously applying himself to his duty, which was for him to create progeny and to expand the creation in various ways, to expand the glory of the Lord through material activity, basically. But he wasn't perfect yet. That's at least my conclusion. So, let us not entertain any illusions about our own position, and let us also be very careful, because later on in this chapter, in text number 52, I think it is, Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, we're going to get there, so I won't spoil the plot too much. Prabhupada writes that because of his absorption in householder mentality, grihamedhi mentality, and because of his strong sexual attachment, Daksha had a predisposition to commit these offenses that he committed. This is something that those of us who are householders, at least, also have to take into consideration. On the face of it, just reading the text alone, it would seem that Lord Vishnu has already told him he's completely perfect, he's the topmost devotee. It would seem that through this material activity of the household duties that we perform very enthusiastically by dint of our natures, we can also, that's a bona fide path. But today's commentaries actually will encourage the brahmacharis that it's a very dangerous road. And if for no other reason than that the cultivation or the maintenance of material attachment that is characteristic of those who prefer the karma marga, it provides a liability. It creates some inclination, if you will, to commit offenses. So we have to be very careful. I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Archita Prabhu.
Thank you for a very nice class. Very much appreciated on the internet, by the way. There were 110 devotees watching you.
Thank you.
Your points made about Daksha's position are very well taken, but just so we don't get only on Daksha's case, it seems that everybody messes up, even Lord Brahma. You know, by dint of a searching self-consciousness, he became well acquainted with the absolute truth. All the truths of the Vedas were revealed to him, but then he messed up after that.
Yeah.
And then we have Indra, Indra and all the other demigods. It seems like everybody messes up, not just Daksha.
That's true. As Prabhupada says, there are accidents even on royal roads. Not only karmis mess up, gyanis mess up as well. Yogis mess up as well. We know the story of Ambarish Maharaj and what is that sage's name? Durvasa Muni, the irascible sage. He was also a Vrijavasi, mind you. Do you know this? His ashram is right across the river from Mathura. And the text of the Gopaltapani Upanishad is dealing with the gopi's interaction with Durvasa Muni. He gave Srimati Radharani the benediction that your cooking will always be nectar, as a result of which Mother Yashoda engages Srimati Radharani, puts her in charge of the kitchen, practically speaking, for Krishna's pleasure. Think about it. So the jnanis mess up. The chief liability of the jnani is that he becomes so absorbed in this oneness and the knowledge of his oneness, awareness of his oneness, that he fails to make the distinction between himself and other living entities or between himself and the Supreme. the liability of the karmi is not only this tendency to commit offenses that we see in daksha, but material attachment for sense gratification is cultivated inadvertently that way. And even devotees have to be very careful, because in the immature stages, we are all karma mishra bhaktas or jnana mishra bhaktas. Do you know where you stand? Do we know what our anarthas are? We have to be aware. Self-awareness is the first stage in therapy. If we're not self-aware, we have to know these things. Therefore, we have these stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam to point out where you possibly stand. Do you feel some identification with Daksha Maharaj? Are you more identified with Ambarish, with Durvasa Muni, with Sobhari Rishi? He was another one who offended a devotee. We have to know these things. And then we can strategize with our Krishna consciousness. Is that okay? Anything else? Okay. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.